You know, I've had the privilege of sharing with you the book of Romans, and we've been looking at some wonderful things in the book of Romans, and it's really wonderful that we can read God's Word and see what He has for us. And, you know, as we read anything, regardless of what it is, it's important that we know who it's addressed to. Now, we might pick up a letter or something that's not directly written to us. We could probably learn something from it. Maybe there's something in there we shouldn't know about. But anyway, it's important to realize that when God writes His Word, He addresses it to some different particular people. Many people think that the whole Bible is addressed directly to them and that it's all applicable to them. And that's not really the case. God identifies in His Word three groups of people. And in 1 Corinthians 10:32, He identifies Jew, Gentile, Church of God. Now, you and I who are born again of God's Spirit, we're in the Church of God. Now, maybe before we were Gentiles, that was probably the case. So when you look at God's Word, you've got to be aware of who it's addressed to. Now, some of the Scriptures are initially addressed to individuals like Timothy and Titus and Philemon. But what's wonderful about those sections of Scripture, we can learn from them. Yeah, we can learn some great truths that are written to these people because they pertain unto the Church of God, especially the ones I just mentioned. So, as I said, we've been working the book of Romans with the idea that this wonderful book of Romans is man's true freedom. It really tells us what our true freedom is. And that really is that we're born again of God's Spirit. We have been delivered from death unto eternal life. God has taken away our sin and the prospects of death that sin equals to, and He has made us righteous in Him and given us eternal life. And there's no greater freedom than that. Well, I do want to look at Romans, and let's talk about who it's written to. And so if you go to Romans chapter 1, there's an opening section here, and it's really in verse 7 that we see who this book in general is addressed to. And it says, "To all that be in Rome, beloved of God, called to be saints." So it's not just written to Rome necessarily, it's the beloved of God, it's the saints that are there. And if you're born again or beloved of God, you are a saint. So for the born again ones, obviously this book is written to us. But we're going to see that not everything in the book of Romans is addressed directly to us. In general, yes it is, as we see in this verse 7. So let's go to chapter 8, and yesterday, last night, I shared with you this wonderful chapter 8 and the last part of chapter 8. So let's take a look at that again here. And I'm going to start in verse 38 of chapter 8. "For I am persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from what?
The love
of God, which is in Christ Jesus, our Lord. Man, oh man, God makes a point, doesn't he? There is nothing, absolutely nothing, that separates us from his love. It's sorry, you can't think of anything. And for God to list out all these different things and people and stuff, no way, height or depth. Nothing can separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Isn't that neat? Well, let's say, imagine yourself reading this. And of course, I don't know about you, but after reading this, I would be pretty excited that I've got a wonderful Father here that loves me. And he's not going to stop loving me no matter what. He has given me his love. And nothing, absolutely nothing's going to separate me from it. So I'm going to be feeling pretty good, won't I? And let's say I am very industrious, and I'm going to keep on reading the book of Romans. And I'll read chapter 9, and I'm just cruising right along chapter 10. And I get into chapter 11, so join me there if you would. And I get to verse 21, chapter 11, verse 21. And here it says, "For if God spared not the natural branches, take heed lest he also spare not thee." Now wait a minute. I read in chapter 8 that nothing's going to separate us from the love of God. And here is something that I might not be spared? Oh my goodness. Well, verse 22, "Behold, therefore, the goodness and severity of God. On them which fell severity, but toward thee goodness, if thou continue in his goodness, otherwise thou also shall be cut off." Oh my goodness. What's going on here? Is the word messed up? Is it something must be wrong here that I could get cut off if I don't continue in his goodness? Man, oh man, this throws a monkey wrench into what I think about God. So you can imagine as we read this that it could cause great confusion. But we know that God is not the God of confusion. God is a loving God, and he's going to communicate to us in a wonderful, loving way. And he does not contradict himself. God is not a man that he should lie. So what's going on here? How can we understand this section of Scripture? Well, it all gets back to whom it is addressed. All right? So, let's go back a few verses. Let's go to verse 13 in chapter 11. "For I speak to you Gentiles, inasmuch as I am the apostle of the Gentiles, I magnify mine office." So here's Paul. He is called to be an apostle to the Gentiles. We see that here. And there's some other scriptures that say that. And so who is this written to? Well, it's written to the Gentiles, right? And let's read on. "If by any means I may provoke to emulation them which are my flesh." Now his flesh, his background is Jew, right? "And might save some of them. For if the casting away of them be the reconciling of the world, what shall the receiving of them be but life from the dead? For if the fruitful be holy, the lump is also holy, and if the root be holy, so are the branches. And if some of the branches be broken off, and thou being a wild olive branch were grafted in among them, and with them partaketh of the root and the fatness of the olive tree, Boy, a lot of stuff in here, huh? About these, this tree, obviously a figure of speech, talking about the Jew and Gentile and situations. Boast not against the branches, but if thou boast, thou bearest not the root, but the root thee. That will say then, the branches were broken off that I might be grafted in. Now it's talking about the Jews. The Jews were noted as the branch, okay? Verse 20, well, because of unbelief, they were broken off, and thou standest by faith. Be not high-minded, but fear. For if God spared not the natural branches, and again, the natural branches refer to Israel, Jews. Take heed, lest he also spare not thee. And who was he talking to? The Gentiles. So this narrative deals with the Jew and the Gentile. It goes back and forth. And the branches are Israel, the Jews, and he's talking to the Gentiles. So this is addressed to these two different groups here. Behold, therefore, the goodness and severity of God on them which fell severity, but toward thee goodness, if thou continue in his goodness, otherwise thou shalt be cut off too. So the Jews had different promises and things that God did for them, and the Gentiles also had opportunities that he afforded them. So, you know, it's important that we realize that, no, we are not going to be cut off here. We are not in this category of Jew and Gentile, are we? We are Church of God. We are the born-again ones. So this does not apply to us. So we can kind of wipe our brow here and thankful that we're not Jew or Gentile, huh? So he goes on to say, verse 25, I don't want to spend time getting into who's what and where, but verse 25, for I would not, brethren, that's believers, that you should be ignorant of this mystery, lest you should be wise in your own conceit, that blindness in part is happened to Israel until the fullness of the Gentiles be come in. So there's things that are going to happen that will be a blessing for Israel and for the Gentiles as well. Well, I trust you see now that you can get back to being very grateful and thankful that nothing will separate you from the love of God. That's to us, the born again ones, and that's a truth that will never fail. Let's take a look in chapter 10. I thought we got a little more time here. It would be interesting to look at chapter 10 as well in light of who's addressed to. So verse 1, chapter 10, brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel. Brethren being the believers. Paul's heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be what?
Saved.
That they might be saved. He wants to see those who are Israelites, Jews, that they could be saved. For I bear them record that they have a zeal of God, but not according to knowledge. Well, that certainly was the case in those times. For they being ignorant of God's righteousness, there's that righteousness again. They were ignorant of God's righteousness and going about to establish their own righteousness, have not submitted themselves unto the righteousness of God. For Christ is the end of the law, for righteousness to everyone that believeth. So Paul is wanting Israel, the Jews, to recognize what's going on, that they need to get saved. They need to believe. And then he shares about Moses. For Moses describes the righteousness which is of the law, that the man which doeth those things shall live by them. But the righteousness which is of faith speaketh on this wise, say not in thine heart, who shall ascend into heaven, that is to bring Christ down from above, or who shall descend into the deep, that is to bring up Christ again from the dead. But what does it say? The word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth and in thy heart. That is the word of faith which we preach. That word of faith whereby they can believe. And they want to believe in the resurrection, obviously. Well, let's see. What is it should they believe? Verse 9. That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth. Now you can see where this is written to the Jew, and so that they can get saved, born again. Gentile as well, obviously. That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God has raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Isn't that a great truth, a great reality? Verse 11, for the scripture saith, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. So it's interesting to see that the great verses that we use to share with people to help them get born again, to get saved, is in this particular section here, chapter 10, where Paul is talking to Israel that they might be saved. And he shares some wonderful things about righteousness and so forth, the resurrection, and shares this great verse 9 and 10, so that people would confess Jesus as Lord, and that they would believe in their heart that God has raised him from the dead. So, some great truths in there. And it's interesting to see in light of the context by which they're written. Our Father's fantastic, isn't he? He has delivered us from the bondage of sin and death by giving us his righteousness unto eternal life. What a blessing. So, what can we do because of this? We can be very thankful and praise our Father for all he's done for us, that he has put us in his family. So, I trust that this has blessed you to see how the Word works and that you can understand it a little bit more, appreciate it a little bit more, and then believe it a whole bunch more. Because God's word is true, and we can take him at his word and believe his word and see it come to pass in our life. So, Father, thank you for your wonderful word that you've given us, that we can see what you've addressed to us, that we can confess it, we can believe it, and walk out on it, and have your love just fully flooding our soul, Father, because you've given us your love and you care for us and you want the best for us. So thank you for your people tonight and for blessing them, and that we can just continue to look to you and know that you love us and that nothing, absolutely nothing, will separate us from your wonderful love. We thank you in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.